Welcome to the ANews podcast. This is episode 112. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on Anarchist News. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the non-sectarian anarchistnews.org.
Editorial.
Clay Feet, or Superman versus Spider-Man. In these days, fictional heroes of all kinds are given depth and dark sides, while real people are under more and more pressure to be perfect, to be transparent and one-dimensional. Fictional people can be complicated and deep, but real people must be easily digested. Perfection means shallow, of course, because depth comes from pain, from making mistakes, from regret, from encompassing contradictions. We seem to have room for that in our entertainment when it doesn't threaten us, when we can play with it without repercussions. But in real life, we are perhaps so desperate for clarity, for a way out, for someone to lead the way, that we don't take the time, we don't allow ourselves or other people the capacity or the room to be more than one thing, or at least not more than one thing at a time. Anarchists, and maybe radicals in general, seem to respond to complexity as if it's a trap, as if nuance is a speed bump or even broken glass on the highway to revolution. Understanding that we are all multi-layered, with goals that conflict or are even mutually exclusive, isn't worth reflecting on or acknowledging because anything other than clarity of purpose, anything other than single-mindedness, is a weakness. I wonder if there's some balancing act that has to happen, where when we feel ourselves as complicated, then we fantasize about simplistic exemplars. But when we are stuck with binaries in our real lives, then we thrust complexity onto our imaginary characters. Or do we prove to ourselves that we're not artificial, made-up characters by being different from those things on the screen? What comes first these days, us or the spectacle? What's new this week? The Strange Pathways of Fulvia Ferrari, from Transmetropolitan Review. A Tycoon fan writes a semi-mythological piece about anarchists in turn-of-the-century San Francisco. Among others, we are introduced to Sigismund Danielowitz, Enrico Travaglio, the Isaac family, Giuseppe Cinciabella, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, Ercilia Cavdagni, and their respective publications, and some of the context of racism, classism, and organizing that they took up. Quote, when the Patterson anarchists arrived in the Latin Quarter in 1902 with their street festivals and park performances, it must surely have been a relief from the tedium of union labor. After decades of the waterfront organizing strategy, the anarchists had been betrayed by their very own sailors' union, and many looked outside the workplace for a path forward. These outdoor festivals were proof that anarchism could be furthered on the streets of their neighborhood rather than on the job, where every stolen hour would only enrich the capitalists. This era reveals the split between organizatori and anti-organizatori, although history shows they all worked together long into the 1920s. This split may even have been exaggerated to catch police informants, and by all accounts, their ranks were never infiltrated until Donald Vose of Home, Washington, betrayed his anarchist mother in 1914. This niche was later depicted killing himself in The Iceman Cometh by Eugene O'Neill, a classic American playwright who died in 1953 with an unfinished play about Errico Malatesta in his drawer. Unquote.
Update on Sean Swain, Interstate Transfer, from seanswain.noblogs.org. Quote, after 27 years of incarceration in the state of Ohio, Sean Swain must bid a fond fare thee well to his former wardens and jailers. Sean has been transferred to the Commonwealth of Virginia, given a new number, and is sitting pretty at Nottoway Correctional Center near Dubuque, Virginia. You can write to Sean to let him know you care and let his captors know you're watching. He'll post more updates as they come up as to what this means for his security status, his legal challenges, his options for programs and parole, unquote. Prisoners getting moved is almost always a way to fuck with them, and much more so after multiple decades in the same place, when they've had a chance to build some stability and work out some relationships. This is not a good thing for Sean. Write him.
Antifa and its discontents. A letter to the new magazine Commune by an Anon who complains about some historical nuances, about some perceived sloppy writing, and about the irrelevance of Antifa based more or less on assertion, like, quote, opposition to capitalism means collective class conflict. Antifa is not a class against class phenomena, unquote. Immediately following that sterling sentence, there were some that I am more sympathetic to about the theoretical ease of fighting fascists instead of targeting more subtle, fundamental, and socially accepted folks like employers and landlords. But the main message of this cranky writer is that Antifa is not anti-capitalist, and so it's not worth bothering with. The Keating spotters got it right even before Anon came on to spread the word about the Mission Yuppie Eradication Project.
Call for submissions for issue 2 of the Night Forest Journal from Anon. Quote, as a project that is based online, it is clear that those who want to write with us and those who enjoy reading our words share in our sense of being caught between the urbanized, technological world of civilization and the animal primordial world of the wild. This feral state of being caught between two worlds, between a reality and what is real, this is the theme of issue 2. Whether it is stories of pirates, caught between ports and the sea, poetry of eco-radical struggles while still a consumer participating in this culture, essays on cyber-primitivism, techno-paganism, or urban medicine person work, or savage surrealist artwork communicating animal desires and forms beyond language. We welcome your submissions, unquote.
Subversive Anarchy Past and Present from impolothia.net by a member of Anti-Capitalist Front, a celebration of the Bonneau Gang and other illegalists in general, connecting it to some current groups and tendencies. Quote, there is a deep nihilism, egoism, and anti-reformism within illegalist praxis, with its continuity today with groups like the Conspiracy of Selves of Fire, the Informal Anarchist Federation / International Revolutionary Front, and individuals such as the Chilean anarcho-nihilist Sebastian Oversluij, who was shot dead while expropriating a bank, and Mauricio Morales, who was killed when the bomb he was transporting in his backpack detonated prematurely. Unquote.
New zine, Mutual Fire Brigade from Sprout Distro. What would it look like if a social anarchist did a Reader's Digest version of Desert? Read this piece by Cindy Milstein and find out. Quote, if the real world serves up horrific versions of devastation and death, our actually existing efforts must supply liberatory forms of co-creation and life, and in as much abundance as we can. We actually already are, but too often we busily bury our own seeds, thinking of what we do, from popular education and solidarity projects, to self-organized social, cultural spaces and self-governing assemblies, to building collective infrastructure and carving out autonomous communities as the unreal world. For sure, our experiments do feel otherworldly. They should! Yet in a manner that allows us and, just as crucially, people who aren't in our rebellious subcultures to exclaim, I've never felt so alive. Our work should be that of cultivators, loosening the soil around cracks that are already there, tending to and nurturing those spaces of possibility, and fostering the growth of good lives and good deaths, all with intentionality, fed with waters of empathy, dignity, and love, unquote. Just more and more love and hope as you go along. I hear some people like that sort of thing.
Notes on What is Property from Libertarian Labyrinth by Sean P. Wilbur. What is Property is a book by Proudhon translated by Tucker. There was a group reading of this book on Reddit. This post on ANews is Sean's notes on that discussion. Sean is a thoughtful and conscientious writer and thinker and extremely knowledgeable about Proudhon in particular, and his writing is always worth reflecting on. Here he provides background info and context about the book and Tucker. Quote, the translation was 50 years removed from the original, and now we're more than 125 years removed from the translation. The only real problem with it is that Tucker sometimes flattened the prose a bit, particularly at some moments when Proudhon was being a bit funny or even a bit naughty, unquote. That was also a problem with Stirner's translation. Note to translators, leave in the naughty bits and the funny bits, and especially the naughty funny bits.
Anarchist Yevgeny Karakchev sentenced to 6 years in prison from Freedom News. Brief details about one of the cases against anarchists in Russia and the Ukraine. Quote, according to the prosecution, Karakchev posted a video allegedly calling for terrorism on his profile at VKontakte back in 2014, and in January 2017, he posted a text from another account which contained propaganda of the ideology of violence and calls for terrorist activity. It was not specified what the post contained, unquote. According to his defense, Yevgeny believes he is being targeted because of his activist work. He is the long-standing anarchist and anti-fascist involved in a campaign against the construction of a tourist resort near his hometown. He will appeal. Moscow ABC is collecting money for the appeal legal costs and to support Yevgeny while he's in prison. You can transfer money on PayPal to abc-msk@riseup.net with reference for Yevgeny Karakchev.
Answering back, the world just needs a man, Canada. From North Shore Counter Info. A quick and easy slap back against a mainstream article about how feminists can trust the Canadian Prime Minister because a woman said so. Nothing particularly challenging or new, unless you're still figuring out that being a victim of oppression doesn't make you a better, more enlightened person. Surely we learned that with, I don't know, Margaret Thatcher? Let's move on. The comments have some interesting references, though, if a bit conspiracy-minded. But who doesn't like a little conspiracy talk with their morning tea?
An Eco-Pessimist Revolt Against Fascism by Julian Langer. Langer, who has been tarred with the ITS/ATASA/eco-fascism brush, if only lightly, here takes another stand against what people are calling eco-fascism. First, by pointing out that the term is without rigor or clarity, then to point out that the mass murderer who claimed the term didn't even know what he was talking about, apparently. Finally, to reference himself as a Jew, although warily, because... This is mostly a blog post in its rambling and spread of issues, and Langer's not a good writer, but his sense of anarchy is appealing, and he's attempting to be humble, and he's writing about things that are important, and also importantly stupid. And because he's willing to put his name and face out there on a controversial topic, he's becoming better known than plenty of other people who don't do that. So, worth paying attention to for a variety of reasons. The vast majority of the comments are Zachev being typically delusional and self-centered, and people responding to that. TriviaBot does have some on-point remarks, though.
Let go of your tedious slogans, aka fuck your red revolution against ecocide toward anarchy, from mpelothia.net. Apparently, the A-News title is not the original one, and the original one is much better. This piece was so interesting to me as it makes an articulate and fairly detailed argument against a practical communism that I haven't heard defended for decades. Arguing for lifestyleless choices, to use Bookchin's simplistic but still endemic term, as a way to do something. Did you hear those capitalizations? That is, it's an anarchist, anti-mass, activist argument against communist activism, using China and Russia as examples of communism. Quote, collectivists will often butt in when others are talking about methods of harm reduction and insist we stop talking about, quote, pointless distractions and instead focus on achieving their much-hyped global worker society that they promise will come if we just hold hands and march in the streets until everyone sees how awesome we are. Then the masses will all join us to overthrow the capitalists and instill communist utopia. Just wait and see, unquote. As irritating and simple-minded and facile as most of my enemies are, I think I'd rather have them than the people this article is trying to talk to. I guess I have it better than I realized.
Decivilized, the endgame, from Anon. This announcement of the reopening of what used to be the eco-anarcho-blog antidev.wordpress.com and is now the eco-anarcho-blog Decivilized, although the URL remains the same, at least for now. The reasons for the rebranding are interesting. Quote, a big issue with the past blog was how it attempted to connect with the world, or was reflecting its author's attempts at doing so, by being a kind of social media, or at best an estuary or a beachhead to the wider social media. This has been solved by the vast invasion of corporate social media of the past few years that made such efforts irrelevant anyways. So, good evils. Also, some positioning, some fronting that emerged from this blog was pretentious and sometimes misguided, lacking careful background considerations of who, what it was backing, siding with agendas or interests that only followed their own short-sighted views. Taking sides with the wrong political agencies can easily be an outcome in the smoke and mirrors of the internet, so it may be more cautious to post more intelligently, even if this could mean posting less often or avoid the social media reaction trap in regards to world events, more local politics, identity politics, and else, unquote. Aside from that, the blog aims to represent the innocent and voiceless, sigh, at the same time that it acknowledges that humans typically and inappropriately foist cultural assumptions on nature. There's enough here that seems interesting that I look forward to more.
The fight for anarchism is the fight for peace, from Anon. This is called a pamphlet from the Aotearoa Workers' Solidarity Movement, but it's too short to be a pamphlet. Maybe they mean leaflet? I'm not going to follow the link to see if there's more elsewhere, because workers' solidarity movement groups from New Zealand to Ireland to wherever are just not worth it. Always full of aggrandizement of workers as defined 100 years ago. Someone should leave them in a room with copies of nihilist communism for a couple of weeks or so. Give them lots of time to think.
Sacrifice or Solipsism, Paradoxes of Freedom in Two Anarchist Social Centers, from Lawrence and Wish Art Independent Radical Publishing, which says about itself, quote, one of the few remaining independent publishing houses in Britain. It is heir to a long intellectual and political tradition. Although this tradition has changed in many ways over the years, a commitment to in-depth analysis and serious political commitment has remained, unquote. This article by Nathan Eisenstadt is an academic rejection of rational leftism in support of passions and desires. Quote, "To consent and to practice the self-limitation required to safeguard the freedom of others, sovereignty over the self is required. Reason must outweigh desire. Yet, as the activist subject defers pleasure for the sake of others, the practice of freedom comes to feel more like moral duty. Participation is at once the marker of freedom, yet enacted out of an obligation that is as oppressive to anarchists as it is patronizing to the mythical community we, they, try to attract. Arising in opposition to the felt oppression of these practices, I identify a set of more spontaneous, joyful, and less codified anti-organizational forms. Against the duty-bound activism of the rational activists, this countercurrent embraces a conception of personal freedom as the liberation of desire," unquote. It uses two projects to explain and explore the difference. I don't mind the message, but fuck people using anarchist projects to make it through the academy. Seriously, shit's bullshit. As a member of the collective, I apologize for the spacing issues in this article.
Extinction Rebellion Notes from the Anarchist Communist Group. A piece explaining that Extinction Rebellion is a liberal group. That is, they attempt to pressure the system to be better, playing more or less within the rules set up by that system, and that such tactics and groups will never end in the kind of change that radicals want. Quote, "The idea that the police are potentially our friends, which is spread around by XR, is just wrong. Many people were abused by the police, especially people who are part of a minority, with people being dragged into cells and strip searched by force or threatened with broken bones. The nice police officers you might come across when you're protesting nicely pretend to be friendly to get information and to get into people's heads, but they will turn into brutes the moment they are ordered to. This idea that the police are possible allies is harmful to everyone who has been abused or who has suffered systematic abuse from the police, as it marginalizes their experiences," unquote. I mean, is the audience for a group called Anarchist Communist Group people who don't already know this?
"No Hope, No Future, Let the Adventures Begin" by Flowerbomb, from Anon. Against leftism for wildness. Quote, "Even in the era of Trump presidency, the masses have yet to take up arms and overthrow the establishment. While anarcho-leftist organizers advertise their groups in competitive popularity contests, the violence of fascism, poverty, and police-orchestrated executions rolls on. Individualized, spontaneous ruptures to the civilized order define a warfare that almost always undermines state infiltration and management. In the transformation of civil anarchism to feral insurgency, anarchy becomes an anti-political life of illegalism accessible to any individual with the courage to get wild and fuck shit up. The authoritarian revolutionaries who carry communist Bibles filled with better futures are a predatory bunch, discouraging individualist self-determination and targeting those most vulnerable to groupthink buzzwords like hope and community. One is led to believe in and choose a side within a binaryist worldview. Find a future of happiness through the riches of capitalism, or find a future of happiness in the communalism of communism," unquote.
Green New Deal, The Eco-Syndicalist Alternative, Part 1 and 2. From Black Rose Federation by old-time participatory economics promoter Tom Wetzel, an anti-capitalist anarcho-syndicalist, or ego-syndicalist now, I guess, take on global warming for those of you who like your anarchist theory to be involved with world systems, electoral politics, reform of various sorts, and so on. Quote, "Even though AOC explicitly makes a powerful case for state planning," Smith says, "a weakness of the Green New Deal resolution, from his perspective, is the failure to call for a national planning board to reorganize, reprioritize, and restructure the economy. When he talks about nationalization, he notes, we do not call for expropriation. He's talking about buying out the shareholders at fair market value. This is essentially a proposal for a largely state-directed form of capitalist economy, a form of state capitalism," unquote. No, really. It goes on like that for a long time. Wetzel is also a member of a Workers' Solidarity Alliance group. I think I mentioned them already.
An Anarchist Case for UBI, from C4SS by Logan Marie Glitterbaum. Quote, "Lastly, UBI has been criticized for giving people no incentive to work. While it does lessen the coercive aspects of working, since you will still have your basic needs taken care of regardless, and you are not put in a work-or-die scenario, that is in no way a bad thing. Such coercion is completely unnecessary. Establishing a UBI would allow us to rid the market of bullshit jobs and focus on more meaningful work. People will still work to solve problems in their communities because it actively improves our lives as a communal species. People will do the work necessary for the survival of themselves and those they care about as a communal species. We realize we can better survive by helping our communities, unquote. Aw, Democratic candidate Yang is going to solve all our problems. So cool.
Audio and video. Anarchy Bang, episode 16. Post-left, 2 hours. Quote, a couple individuals have asked how post-left anarchists respond in practical terms to the rise of the right, to the impact of daily immiseration, and to the general rise of the ick. I can't speak for a position I do not hold, and one that generally should be thought of as a critique and not a position, but if there is something different about second-wave anarchy, broadly defined as an anarchist position informed by May of 68 rather than Spain of 36, let's discuss it and think about it. Insurrection rather than revolution? About individuals rather than categories? Perhaps about categories rather than classes, about reach rather than grasp. Let's talk about newer ideas in anarchy and how they have and have not given us more practical ideas about anarchist practice, unquote. This episode featured Nettle, Dominique, Aragorn, one very nice call, one call just testing the phone number, and a fun conversation with three co-hosts.
Anarchy Radio, April 23rd, 2019, 20 minutes, starts at 33 minutes in. In the middle of Jay-Z talking about disease, I guess? And just in time for the upbeat part of the show, aka Acts of Resistance. Oh, then he gets cut off when the programming goes back to the baseball game. Oh well, Jay-Z was bored anyway. Now basketball is my favorite sport. Uh-huh. I like the way they dribble up and down the court. I keep it so fresh on the microphone. I like no interruption when the game is on.
Topic of the week. Debate. This last week, there was a debate between two public intellectuals. It's a URL. Should we do something like that? If we do, who would we get to debate? And what would actually be interesting to a lay audience? What would they debate? Squee, how are you doing?
Great, how are you?
Not bad. Thank you very much for doing this with me. What are your thoughts on the topic of the week?
Well, so, on the one hand, there have been somewhat public debates between anarchists and other not like-minded people. One of them is the Chris Hedges debate
right. That
happened with
Crumthink.
B. Travis.
Yeah.
And then there was also David Graeber debated Peter Thiel.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I don't think I saw any or heard anything about that.
Yeah, they were, I don't know if they were doing it on universal basic income or it wasn't very memorable for me to watch, but it's out there. And then there is, of course, Zoltan versus Erzan.
Right. But that didn't really, I recall that happening. I don't remember what people felt about it.
Yeah, I think from what I remember, everyone thought it was wonky on both sides.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the primary problem with trying to do something like that is that most of the people who sort of, you know, like the people you've listed, none of them would be that interesting necessarily to see or, yeah, to hear present, really.
Right, and I think probably the most interesting person to watch is David Graeber, just because he seems to have a way with audiences.
Hmm.
But yeah, I think that's definitely one of the first problems with the whole idea is that when it comes to public intellectuals, anarchists don't really have that many. There's Chomsky, if you want to count him, and David Graeber, but otherwise, we just have a lot of academics and activists and writers and people who are off camera.
Sure. Well, I mean, I guess maybe the better question isn't about the who, but it's about the what, meaning what would be an interesting conversation to have in the public sphere that would make sense for an anarchist to speak to. You know, in other words, I can think in the 70s, there were lots of opportunities for George Carlin or Frank Zappa or you know, even into the 80s with the PMRC trials, Jell-O.
Biafra?
Yeah. He actually, every time he was on camera, he was quite captivating. even if I find him personally annoying. But the point, I guess, would be what ideas or what positions should anarchists be taking, maybe in public, that they could find plenty of people to debate them on?
Well, my position is that a debate is more valuable for the audience than it is for
the cause.
You know, the cause or the people debating. And that clashes a lot with the way that the internet culture has transformed debate and a lot of intellectual conversation into a maybe what it started as a point scoring sparring match where you own or crush or smash your opponent with your super logic or whatever.
Hmm. Okay, but leaving that aside, if wishes were fishes, what would you have there be a debate on? Like, would the Zoltan Zerzan make sense if both of them were better?
Well, I think if you want to talk about really far out there ideas, it would make sense, but they're both taking a position of very different futures than what anything in the world is right now.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, but as a pro-imagination anarchist, I would think that that would be more interesting than to talk about UBI, which is, you know, the very epitome of like boring things that are possible in this world.
Yeah, I agree, but I actually think anarchists would 99% of the time out imagine their opponents.
Yeah, sure.
I think the real challenge would be to have a debate on something that is current and undecided as far as the law goes, or maybe up for change in some way. Only because I think that would create the possibility to demonstrate just how much anarchists actually want to change things instead of some of the reformist agendas of the left.
Hmm. Okay, so what are some examples that ring true for you?
So, like a debate about public education versus private education, I think would be interesting because anarchists would be able to talk about the history of the modern school and a lot of other attempts to theorize about pedagogy.
Hmm.
And just also, like, the CMT did a lot of education and even martial training. They opened up all these gymnasiums in the, you know, the era leading up to the Spanish Civil War. So there's a lot of history on the education topic, but I don't think that's ever going to come up in a debate with anyone else except for an anarchist.
Hmm. Well, it's definitely true that the private versus public debate is a pretty wonky conversation, and an anarchist could bring something interesting, but who cares?
Well, that's a good question.
Okay. Other examples of debates that you think would be interesting?
I always think the free speech debate is...
Yes. Now is more than ever. Sure. How would you frame it?
I don't know how I would frame it. I have an idea of how it would get framed. But
yeah, sure, sure.
They would want to frame it in a way where they could discuss whether or not college campus censorship is against free speech and blah blah blah.
I might frame it in the way to talk about the fact that the positions of the right, the left have changed, have flipped when it concerns censorship and topics like this. In other words, in the past, it was always the right wing that was more censorious, but today,
for sure,
it's the left.
Definitely. Well, it depends how far back you want to go, I guess, because there's always, you know, the Soviet Union. and that kind of left.
Sure.
But yeah, the censorship, the winners tend to be the religious right wing throughout history. But yeah, that would be an interesting one. And I think an important point to make on it would be that a lot of what might seem like censorship is actually just anarchists or anarchists attacking a person for who they are, not to try to silence them.
Sure. So obviously we're having this conversation today because there was just a public debate 2 weeks ago. It seemed like it was very popular and a lot of, you know, not, of course, non-anarchist people were interested. Neither the presenters were anything close to an anarchist. I'm curious to you what your takeaways on the Jordan Peterson and Zizek debate was from the anarchist position.
I think one of the takeaways could be that whether or not you're coming from a conservative or progressive framework, being okay with the state seems to push people towards the same position. So, you know, you have Zizek and Peterson agreeing with each other a lot, kind of both winding up in favor of some sort of regulated capitalism. And Zizek did say some things about how a lot of the most pressing issues right now are problems of the commons, but he didn't follow from that to any kind of like change in the fundamental relationships to property. Yeah, so that was one takeaway. I think another takeaway is that wasn't probably in front of everyone's face, is that they're both psychologists.
Right.
And so when they're having conversation, they're talking at the level of psychology at least as much as they're talking at the level of socio-political and economic issues.
I heard some reviewers, and I didn't watch the debate myself. I heard some reviewers say that Peterson articulated a pretty standard, more or less libertarian or anarchist position.
He did at some points, in the sense of prefiguration. There was a portion of the debate where he was referring to his book, and I guess there's a section about cleaning up your house or something like that. And he elaborated on that and said the whole point of that section is that social change should come about through the individual and their immediate social relationships.
That's interesting.
And yeah, it was interesting. He said something else earlier. I forget what it was. That some of his criticisms of Marxism were right along the same lines anarchists have critiqued Marxism.
Right. Although my understanding is that his understanding of Marxism was so shallow as to not be able to be taken seriously by anyone who takes ideas seriously.
I think that's true, but I also think that there's been a lot of Marxists who are just as shallow.
Yeah, sure.
especially today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that, of course, would be a classic debate that might be useful for people to understand how Marxists and anarchists are different. I mean, you know, talk about a rich field. And frankly, you could have, you know, someone like Wayne Price, who more or less is pro-Marxist, you know, debate someone who is anti-Marxist, which most anarchists should be, and really talk about the, you know, the who wins, whys, and hows.
Yeah, that would definitely be a good debate. So you don't think UBI is interesting, though, huh?
Well, I mean, perhaps I don't understand UBI, but my understanding, you know, which may or may not be right, is that UBI, any UBI conversation would be so similar to a conversation about social welfare as to be indistinguishable. And I feel like that conversation has been so drained of any vitality, life, or even possibility that it just seems like a waste of breath.
Yeah, that was pretty much what I would say too. A debate over the internet as a type of technology would be interesting.
Or basically, is the internet a social good? Would also be a provocative debate.
Right, especially because you could break it down into so many different directions.
Yeah, you know, like Grindr is good, Facebook is bad.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go on.
Well, thank you very much for having this conversation with me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm glad to poke into the show a little bit again.
Yeah. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Stretch out and wait. There is no debate, no debate,
no debate. How can you consciously contemplate? This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Dim. What's New was written by Jackie and read by Chisel and Dim. The editorial was written by Chisel. We thank
Aragorn and a friend
for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackheart.com. For news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, see you at anarchistnews.org and or the Anarchist News IRC chat room linked on ANews.